Welcome to the Orthodontics in Summary podcast, where Farouk brings you the key points and understanding of orthodontic webinars, conferences, and papers in a concise podcast with your host, Farouk Ahmed.
Welcome to this episode of Orthodontics in Summary. Today's podcast is looking at the acceleration of orthodontic tooth movement. It's a summary of two lectures by Ali Durandaila and Peter Pochang's excellent lecture at the AAO. Just to recap, the podcast is an opinion piece and is the independent work of myself and the Orthodontics in Summary team. So starting off looking at the acceleration of tooth movement. Well, the reason why we have such an interest is just the sheer duration of orthodontic tooth movement. On average, it is 20 months, according to Aliki Tashlaki's systematic review from 2016. It's not new to try and increase the rate of tooth movement. In 1892, it was first reported of surgical intervention to cut away bone to increase tooth movement taking place. And what we're trying to achieve through this process is to resorb or to make tooth movement happen quicker without those detrimental side effects. And that was a gauntlet thrown down by Eugene Roberts in 1981. So where do we currently stand on this topic? Well, let's first look at vibrational mechanical instruments. So what are they? Essentially, it's a low magnitude, high frequency appliance. It looks like a bite fork the patient keeps in their mouth for about 20 minutes a day, and it vibrates essentially around 30 to 50 hertz, and a small force is delivered around 25 grams. The intent here is that it increases the rate of remodeling. This has been adapted for medicine, where it's used for osteoporosis patients to increase the remodeling of bone. How does it work when it comes to orthodontics? And is it effective? Well, when we look at tooth movement, specifically canine retraction, it's been shown there's no significant impact when we use 30 hertz. But actually, when we increase the frequency to 50 hertz, there is an acceleration. But it's only 15%, and that's not really clinically significant. Now, as Eugene stated, we've got to look at the side effects. So are there any increased root resorptions that take place as a consequence? Well, actually, we find that there isn't. When it comes to looking at the 50 hertz, the higher frequency, there's actually a reduction in root resorption, at least according to Tan from 2011. It looks as though vibrational mechanics do not seem to increase the rate of tooth movement. Next, looking at photobiomodulation. So what is it? Essentially, it's the use of a low-level laser, which is applied to the dentition. Similar to the vibrational instruments, it's used for around 20 to 30 minutes per day, and it comes in a bite fork mouth guard format. The premise here is that the absorption takes place off the laser into the cellular biology and results in an increase in activity, especially osteoclastic activity. Again, borrowed from medicine, we're looking at using it for nerve regeneration and also accelerating healing injuries. How does it look when it comes to orthodontics? Well, it looks favorable. When it comes to tooth movements, there's an increase in rate of around about 1.7 millimeters over a 2 to 3 month period. That's a systematic review by Yavagal from 2021. What about what Eugene stated? Does it cause any side effects? Well, so far there doesn't seem to be any significant root resorption associated with this form of therapy. That's Sam Bavesky's study from 2022. So looking good for photobiomodulation. How do these numbers stack up when we compare to relative changes? Well, the acceleration is around about a third in compared to controls. So it's a modest increase when it comes to rate of tooth movement. Next, looking at the more invasive side of things. So starting off looking at microsurgery, both piezocision and microosteoperforation fall into this. The premise here is that the rate of bone turnover, the bone density, can be changed through these processes. And we can create the RAP effect, which is the regional acceleratory phenomenon, as opposed to what I do in the shower. Now, how does it work? Well, essentially it's noxious stimuli, which results in greater healing capacity and also tooth movement by association of this healing process. There's two formats to it. Piezocision, which essentially is a series of vertical bone cuts, about 2 to 3 millimeters in their depth, and varying in length, versus microosteoperforation, which is essentially round perforations of similar depth, 2 to 3 millimeters. They can both be with or without flaps. Now, this was really popularized by Wilco back in 2001, where he spoke about periodontally accelerated osteogenic orthodontics. And essentially what took place is a change from just taking away mechanical bone and trying to instead increase a biological response through these processes of the RAP effect. Now, how well does it work? Well, it does result in greater tooth movement. We're looking at twice the rate of tooth movement, and that's by a Lino study in 2017 and also Chia from 2007. Peter Bruchang then queried this and wanted to investigate, well, how long do these effects of the RAP process take place? And his 2010 study looked at a split mouth study and showed actually the rate of tooth movement only increases for 3 to 4 weeks. And at 6 weeks, the effects of having had this insult or trauma have now dissipated. And that was Abul Ella's study from 2011. And coming back to Eugene's statement, what about the side effects that take place? Well, when we look at root resorption, we actually get a significant increase in root resorption of around 44 to 42%. And that's looking at Patterson's 2017 study. It was felt that actually due to the increase in remodeling that was taking place and the increase in healing that occurred, it also results in greater potential for cementum and dentine resorption as well. Specifically looking at piezocision, it was found that 36% of roots underwent iatrogenic damage due to the nature of the surgery. And this was surgery performed by periodontists. So now we're not fulfilling Eugene's requirements here about increasing tooth movement, but without detrimental side effects. Finally, looking at distraction. Now, this is the mechanical removal of bone as the obstruction. How does this take place? Well, essentially, an osteotomy takes place, callus forms, and rapid separation takes place through the orthodontic appliance between the proximal and the distal bone. New bone heals in this area of separation. Now, how much movement can we get? Well, it's quite profound. We can get up to 1 millimeter per day, looking at Moore's 2011 study. What about the detrimental side effects? Loss of vitality is always the question when it comes to single tooth and multiple teeth distraction osteogenesis. Well, actually looking at the Doppler meter measures when it comes to it, Almeria showed in 2011, there was no loss of vitality associated with these teeth. So we know when it comes to looking at rate of tooth movements, actually in the surgical sense, distraction osteogenesis works reliably, but it's a significant intervention for our patients, and we don't have any of the side effects of having significant root resorption take place, as we seem to be finding with the more mini surgery processes. When it comes to looking at the accelerating tooth movements, we've also got to look at our treatment planning processes. And what was highlighted by Peter Bruchang is that we do make mistakes along this journey, specifically related to three items: the wrong diagnosis, wrong mechanics, and our bracket positioning. He also put forward the idea of changing our intervals to 2 weekly changes when it comes to finishing and detailing. And actually this question itself has been asked by my colleague Fida Waswas down at King's College London, looking at 2 weekly changes when it comes to alignment for orthodontic treatment. I'm looking forward to seeing her results. That brings us to the end of this episode of Orthodontics in Summary. Please do subscribe and look forward to the next episode.